anybody else want to say hello?
Morning.
Steve, how are you?
Behind. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for piping in. I'll wait another minute or so and see who else comes on. A late crowd this morning, I guess.
Has arrived.
Anybody else want to say hello?
Good morning, this is Anita.
Morning, how are you?
I'm Anita.
Rebecca?
Has arrived.
Morning, Rebecca, how are you?
Good morning, I'm fine. We're having rain.
Oh, you are? We're not supposed to get it until this afternoon.
Sacramento, just perfect weather for fall.
Can't be more
specific.
We had that last week.
Is this Bredna?
It's Way.
It's Way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard Bredna last night on Roger's call. She asked a question.
I did hear that. He certainly went on last night, didn't he?
Oh, didn't he?
I guess he doesn't think it's necessary to limit his calls to an hour or so.
Whoa. So what did you get out from last night? I didn't hear the call, but is there something I'm missing?
You want to talk about it, Rebecca?
Well, he was talking about your brain, how your brain works.
But
I was touched how you said about when you pray, how meaningful the word Father is, which, you know, I know that, but it just brought out a new meaning to it.
And mother and love is not a big word. And Peter,
yeah,
we've proven so much with water, how it breathes, and we have proven it so much with energy. You can read on it how amplified it is, so it's already been proven, so, you know. There's no denial.
So
it's scientifically proven.
So,
yes, your mind is a big thing.
Well, he also lumped praying with meditation at one point. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very well.
Yeah, I knew you would be. Anybody
but I
else?
Thought it was amazing that he brought that on a health call, but, you know, yeah, it was good.
It's his call. Anybody else listen and want to say something about it?
No, I always miss it for some reason. So
I started getting into the habit of listening. Molly asked a question, and it was just really interesting to hear his response to her, that she's on every call, he said, and he loves hearing that she's there and taking in the information and not trying not to feel overwhelmed with it, he said.
But, you know, it's not too late. It's recorded. You can listen to it.
Right.
The Can You Biz is great. I went on there a couple of times to listen to some of the previous, I don't have time for this conference stuff, so, but I do, on occasion, go on there and re-listen to it. So it's just,
I wish he'd leave them on longer.
Oh, so they do take them off after a while?
Yeah.
Because
well, they are on the internet then. You can get on the internet, which I can't.
There is a list on the internet, but they're the older calls. I don't know whether he will update it or not.
Mm. Oh, so it isn't every...
No.
I know it takes a couple of weeks for it to get on, but it can.
Yeah, and I don't think Steve is recording them because they're so long and they interfere with the 9 o'clock call he does. 9 o'clock here.
I know he said last week he'd gotten all the calls except that one, I think. So.
Yeah, and that's too bad. Even if he would record just the first hour of it, that would be helpful because he does go on. Last night it was an hour and a half. It was over an hour and a half.
Hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. A long time. Anyway, anyone have any questions, thoughts, or concerns about lifestyle? Okay. I'm just going to go over some of the things that have appeared to me in the past week or so. I don't know whether you guys realize or not, but CPR now, they are, and I've seen this on, I think, both Dr. Oz and the docs, and there's a thing in a newspaper about hands-only CPR saves lives. No longer doing mouth-to-mouth unless it's on a baby, I believe.
Right, they just changed that recently. That's what I heard.
Yeah, just do the chest compressions 100 a minute, which is really working hard.
Pretty much it's like 1, 1, 1, 2. It's over like 1, 2, 3, 4. So
has arrived.
On upright.
Anyone else want to say hello?
Hello again.
Oh, okay. And interestingly, there was an article, and this was an October 12th newspaper from us, obesity expert Levine joining university hospital staff. And there's a nice write-up about it. Apparently they feel the need to expand in this area. And it says a study shows that lean people burn more than 350 more calories a day than overweight people by doing ordinary activities such as pacing, fidgeting, or walking more around the office. Being active throughout the day is an excellent way to burn extra calories. And I think that he was the one, I believe, I read this in last week yet, I think he was the one who developed the treadmill that you can actually work on. Now, his decades of research on obesity and the exercise of daily living, referred to as NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, has led to a community and corporate weight loss programs that incorporate simple techniques such as using walking meetings, stand-up desks, and phones with headsets to reduce sitting. He created the first treadmill desk by putting a hospital tray across the conventional treadmill.
Yeah, I need one of those.
Has arrived.
I'm a nurse, and I was so astounded. I didn't go to the hospital that much, but on occasion I have to take my patient, and I was just so embarrassed by how many overweight nurses and doctors are there. I was like, oh, my gosh, they are trying to get help, and you are, you know, in my mind, they're, like, so overweight, and just, it's like, God, why are you trying to teach this? It's okay.
I know. That's always an eye-opener for me also. There's an article here that really struck me because any of you who have listened to me on calls for a very long time have heard me say that I am convinced that there is a chemical in the brain that determines what we eat. And this is a Dr. Roizen column that's in our paper once a week. When you eat, say, a donut, your brain releases pleasure-giving dopamine. At this point, many people are satisfied. But for some people, the desire to repeat the pleasure is too strong to resist. And I'm just going to go down some of the items in this column here because it was significant for me, and maybe some of you can relate to it also. Being overweight, Roizen says,
Rebecca
has left the conference,
can be a clear-cut case of too much of a good thing, specifically dopamine, a feel-good chemical that gets released in your brain when you eat something delicious, and people get addicted to dopamine. When researchers compared brain scans of drug addicts and obese people who are food addicts, they found that the brain's reward centers in both groups don't light up well. Interesting how they are comparing drugs with people who eat food.
Another form of addiction.
Yes. When you eat, say a donut, your brain releases the pleasure-giving dopamine. And again, at this point, some people are happy and some people just feel a strong need for more. So they eat more donuts to release more dopamine. Pretty much any food loaded with fat, sugary carbs, and or salt will do the job. Eventually, the reward center in your brain gets used to having all that dopamine and stops reacting so intensely. Then you have to overeat just to get your normal dopamine high. That's why changing food habits is so hard. To break the addiction, you have to avoid dopamine-triggering foods. Like quitting smoking, it takes time and work, but eventually avoiding fatty, sugary, salty foods will allow dopamine levels to return to normal. Some overeaters crave sweets and wonder if there's a physical reason for this. There is, Royson says. People who identify themselves as sugar addicts are onto something. Sugar seems to activate the pleasure center of the brain in a similar way that narcotics do, though sugar is not addictive in exactly the same way. Lab rats who get a kick from cocaine, morphine, and nicotine get the same high when they nibble sugar, and the needs that and the meds that eliminate narcotic cravings also knock out the need for sugary fix. So I guess we have to go on medication. I don't think so. There's also a logical answer for the need for sweets. Since the body requires sugar, the kind naturally found in whole foods like fruit and veggies, as fuel, doctors and researchers say we may all be hardwired to crave it, a tendency that's exacerbated when a person is tired, stressed, overly hungry, or when blood sugar is low. So eating regularly and enough can help stave off cravings. Skipping meals, though, can send you on a hunt for cookies or a candy bar because you crave the quick energy you get from sugar. Instead, as dietitians advise, eat complex, not refined carbs. Fruits, veggies, and whole grains, the less processed the better, contain sugar too, but it's absorbed slowly and steadily so you don't get a sugar crash afterward. Refined carbs, the sweets so many of us love, cause a rapid rise in blood sugar that gives way to an equally rapid plunge that sends a more message to the brain. As always, it pays to reduce stress. Even taking some slow, deep breaths has been shown to reduce anxiety and stress. Chewing sugar-free mint gum might also help. Studies show that chewing gum can help stifle cravings and that the scent of peppermint helps boost energy. Anybody relate to any of that?
Very good.
It was such an eye-opener for me because I've said for years, some days I don't care what I don't want any of the garbage, and especially if I'm not feeling well. And then there are days when I could just eat anything and just shove.
That's how emotional eating that.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Somebody else was saying something when Ray was saying. I'm sorry.
Thing happened with fat.
Absolutely. Fat, sugar, salt is what he said.
I don't crave the sugars, but I crave the fat.
Interesting. I mean, we all have our own albatross. I've said that for years. I have a friend who is a bread addict. And literally years ago, she used to say to me, I don't understand how you have a weight problem. You don't like things that make, and you know, it's the sugar, it's the candy. That, whether it's the sugar or the fat in candy, I don't know. But that's my biggest.
And it's also being controlled by your mind. So start to learn how to meditate. It's the most powerful tool you have. I think, you know, once you bypass that, it's all there.
And the best thing is to not have it in the house. I mean, if it's not here, I am definitely not.
Has left the conference.
Anyone else have any comments?
No, it's not me that brings it in the house, though. My husband does a lot of it.
Well, then get him out of the house.
After five, can't do that, so.
If Marty brings something in, you know, it's helpful that it's something I don't like. I do have limits. There are things I would not waste my calories on.
Yeah. At least you stick stuff in the freezer so it's downstairs and I don't.
That definitely helps, yeah.
Has arrived.
You know, the big thing that he didn't really stress it terribly hard, but is once you are off of it, your body can go back to normal. And Roger has alluded to that. Roger did talk about stress a little bit again last night. But yeah, it's something that I'm totally aware of, and it's a constant. Anyone else have any questions, thoughts, or concerns before I go on?
Yeah, the stress is a big thing for me. It just,
yeah.
I go start getting nerved at work, and then it's just all over.
Mm-hmm.
Are you meditating?
No.
Five minutes a day. Just start with that. So, as simple as breathing in one and count to four, and do it again and again, and just put a timer on and increase that over a period of time. So you just have to allow that, then you can minimize your stress. Cheapest way to do it.
Sometimes stress can work the other way also. You know, it depends on the person. It depends on the situation. There have been times when I'm under stress and I'm just so busy and involved with it that I don't even think to eat. So every person and every situation is different.
But I see more overweight people because of stress in America than in Asia. I don't know, some Asian will just like, you see them when they're under so much stuff, they're like losing like crazy. They're even thinning out.
Yeah.
But majority are, yeah, just like, because they don't think, they just put everything in their mouth because they're not consciously eating.
No.
So that's what the meditation is. When you eat, it's just like consciously, okay, you're tasting it. So your body is connecting it all. But when you break that consciousness there, that's where, you know, your body's just shoving things in there, shoving in there, not registering it. So
I think that we probably, as a nation, eat less healthy and more processed than Asians.
True.
And so, you know, you're in that addiction mode of giving your body bad nutrition or no nutrition. And
well, I guess you have to say here out in the West. I mean, you know, here I guess it will equally everybody here in the West where in this country there's more processed food available.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that we are a higher stressed nation than other nations? I don't know. Do we self-induce stress? A lot of it, probably.
Some people are materializing, you know.
Yeah, some people thrive on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so busy, and their whole aura lights up. Okay.
Yeah.
Mary Lou
has arrived.
All right, I'm just going to go through some of the things that the chiropractor I listened to on Saturday mornings talked about. He said vinegar, like in a salad dressing, and not a lot of it, slows down the absorption that's in a white potato. And he definitely says to eat the skin, which is where the fiber and the nutrients are. You know, he was addressing the idea that is a white potato good or bad for you? Actually, it has the same three compounds as goji berries, plus 22 amino acids, so for sure, white.
Provided with the skin on, right?
Absolutely. And when you do that, it becomes a whole protein.
Right.
And these are the only other food that has these three compounds, the names of which I do not know and I did not write down. They were not really familiar to me. And he said, do not eat a white potato when it's green or with sprouts on it. You should throw them away.
Yeah.
Watermelon is one of the highest, has one of the highest levels of lycopene, lots of phytochemicals in it. It's the compounds in watermelon that keep the blood sugar low, helps reduce blood pressure, helps increase libido. Pineapple has bromelain, which is an anti-inflammatory, which reduces pain, and it strengthens the immune system. Quercetin and bromelain help relieve allergic reactions. It's better than an antihistamine. If you're allergic to animals, like dogs, cats, the underlying cause is usually a food allergy.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, he's very, you know, I've mentioned this before, very strong on food allergies. And for the first time Saturday, I heard him say that I know that he will do phone consults, but he is very strong with the lab that does his ELISA food allergy blood test. And he said that he can have this done anywhere in the country, which I had never heard him say that before. Let's see what else he said.
What was the other thing besides bromelain for the food allergy?
Quercetin.
Can you spell that?
I have Quercitin, and I don't know if that's correct.
Sounds all right. Close anyway.
The animal allergy is the tip of the iceberg, he said. It's the food allergy is the base allergy. And environmental allergies are also the tip of the allergies. And he thinks that probably pretty much most allergies start with food, and they're hidden. The scratch test does not do it. It's a hidden food allergy that may show up weeks later, and it can also be, I remember one time he said somebody was allergic to cauliflower. So, it's not necessarily the foods that are not good for us. They can be foods that we eat on a regular basis that actually have really good nutrition. If you get rid of the hidden food allergies, the environmental allergies will disappear. It could even include bee stings that cause swelling. If you crack your knuckles, you will have dramatically less arthritis.
No, there's a guy that's putting that wrong already.
Well, he says... Oh,
you heard that? I don't know.
There's
a guy who actually did it, won a Nobel Prize for it. I thought that was interesting.
Well, he likened it to, chiropractors who crack their spines, and you're releasing the gas that's in there.
Uh-huh. Well, it doesn't cause arthritis, right?
So you'll have less arthritis if you crack your knuckles.
Okay, so I thought you said the other way around.
No. You'll have less arthritis.
Okay, yeah. So there was a doctor who's actually 65 years cracking one side of his hand and proving with, people say, you're going to have arthritis when you get older, and he actually won a Nobel Prize for it because it wasn't true. His both hands are fine at age 75.
It used to, when we were growing up, we were told if we crack our knuckles, we'll get
Right, yeah.
Well, I know I saw somebody that cracked their knuckles for years and years and years and years that I knew repeatedly every day, and their knuckles were very, very enlarged, that I do know.
Oh. Enlarged?
Larger. Their knuckles look large, like they would have had arthritis. I don't think they did, but
okay.
I don't think that was the case, but they were continually popping their knuckles.
And is there arthritis in them now, do you think?
No, I don't think they had arthritis. They were just enlarged knuckles. They just looked larger than the average person would have. So.
That's all right. That's just a physical look, and he doesn't look just, internally he's okay.
He talks about vertigo. I don't know if this is anything to do with anybody on the call.
Yeah, go ahead. I have vertigo.
Do you? And he mentioned, what do you do for your vertigo?
I just ground myself because there's nothing else that makes me I can do that. I just have to ground myself.
Put a power patch on your sinus.
A power patch on the sinus, huh?
Uh-huh.
I'll do that in the kinesiology that then, yeah.
And leave it there and let me know how it works. He says it's a misalignment. He says a misalignment of the spine is very common with vertigo. It also could be food allergies.
I don't know about the food allergy part. All this started off accident, so.
Vertigo can also help. I'm sorry?
What can?
Ginkgo.
Ginkgo? Okay.
He also says ascorbic acid with bioflavonoids and vitamins for vitamin C, and I don't know what that pertains to. Ginkgo, garlic, fish oil, and vitamin E help C in the blood and prevent strokes. All fruits and veggies, turmeric, rosemary, all help prevent strokes because of the phytochemicals in them that help thin the blood. Peppermint oil. I'm sorry?
Repeat those one more time. Ginkgo, garlic.
Ginkgo, garlic, fish oil, and vitamin E help thin the blood, as well as all fruits and veggies, turmeric, rosemary, because of their phytochemicals, helps in the blood.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Peppermint oil helps the immune system. And the brand that he likes is Herb Farm. Is that a national brand? Do you guys know of that name?
I've done aromatherapy. I just pretty much want to get a source like the kinesiology of it, so I don't really care for the brand. I just want, you know, the quality of it and then so much for the essence of it. So, I don't know, because some of the drugs are like twice as much as other, and then when I test them out, they're no different. The cheaper one, because I'm just like, you know, aromatherapy course, so when I do, I just find by pure essential oil, but no, I didn't hear that brand before.
Okay.
And also, peppermint oil, yes.
It's good for the immune system.
Thank you.
He also
and for a lot of other stuff, too.
Well, it's good for sore throats. You can put it in a spray bottle with some water and spray it on your throat. It takes away, it helps your sore throat. It's also good for garlic breath.
Nancy, would you repeat that?
Which part?
That last sentence you said about the spray in your throat. What was it?
Peppermint oil.
Peppermint oil, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I put a drop in the water, not pure.
For MRSA, you need lots of vitamin C and get the buffered kind. He said 1,000 milligrams 3 or 4 times a day, but you should not start immediately at so much, build up over 3 or 4 days. Someone called in that she had MRSA. Echinacea golden seal are good to increase the immune system. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. This person who had it was originally in the hospital. He said, do not eat hospital food.
Yes. That's the greatest.
It's good fresh juice. Pineapple and bromelain are anti-inflammatory. Astragalus increases your immune system, and you should eat healthy if you have MRSA. I mean, especially, you know, this was addressing the person who called in with MRSA.
About 3 to 4,000 milligrams a day?
1,000 milligrams 3 to 4 times a day.
Yeah, I mean, MRSA's everywhere. It's only the one that really immune compromise that will, you know, develop, just like anything else. Kind of affect more than the immune-compromised person.
Right.
It could be there. It's just everywhere. I mean, I don't want to go, for a week, healthy if anything, just pick it up and do the gym.
That's exactly what you said. You need to keep your immune system strong, and so many of these infections are becoming antibiotic resistant. Organic whole grains can lower your blood pressure. It's good for diabetes, heart disease, cancer, refined grain.
Right,
has left the conference.
The bran is the outer layer of the seed. When it's stripped away, you're left with a starch that puts weight on you. This is a thing in England, and I don't know if anybody saw this in the paper or heard on the news. I don't know if it's happened yet, they want to put statins in fast food restaurants in England. Yeah.
That's a surprise. Usually they're on the other end over there.
I don't know. That was his program this week.
I think you need to type up all this information and send it to us.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I'm having a hard time keeping up writing.
Well, that's as fast as he talks, too. Since we have a couple more minutes, I think I'll go to the week before. Kidney stones, stay away from cow's milk products. Mm. Get calcium from dark greens. Hmm. You talked about broccoli and romaine. Even carrots have calcium. By the way, speaking of carrots, I just saw it on the Today Show. Somebody called in wanting to know if the baby carrots have as much beta carotene as the real carrots. The answer is no. And she said, but that doesn't mean that there's not a lot in there. And the carrots apparently release, I think it was the beta carotene she was talking about, easier and better and more if they are cooked. So, or at least warmed up. But FYI. Food sensitivity, again, can lead to kidney stones. If you have cranberry juice, he says take cranberry juice with sugar regularly, but dilute it one part cranberry juice to 10 parts water to help your kidneys. If you have SAD, drugs are not the answer. Antidepressants don't work any better than placebo, and he likes St. John's wort as one of the most well-researched herbs, 8 times more frequently used in Europe than antidepressants. It reduces the effects of medication, increases your enzymes in the body that detox the poison, which are the prescriptions. It decreases the effect of the prescriptions. He recommends 300 milligrams 3 times a day of St. John's wort and the Nican full spectrum life. The paid political commercial. You should be taking 2 to 5,000 units of vitamin D in the winter for SAD. Exposed as much.
5,000?
2 to 5. Now, I've heard somebody said 10. I don't remember what it was, Oz or somebody. You should expose as much of your body to daylight for 15 minutes in the winter as you can. Most of us, if we can expose just our face, that's a lot on some winter days. I know where we live. Oh, and here's where he did talk about full spectrum light, 15 to 20 minutes a day. Eating light also. Foods with vitamin increases in vitamin D help. And again, St. John's wort without the side effects of the prescription. If deficient in zinc, you'll get more colds. There's a zinc lozenge that helps. If you take the lozenge and it doesn't taste a strong metal taste, you're deficient in zinc. So I guess when you take the lozenge, you're supposed to taste metallic. Oh, that was the week before. So anyone have any? Oh, geez, I just saw this. Diet pills are a trap. Not one pill that doesn't have a side effect. 50 times more than the drug. 50 times worse than the drug for diet pills. Anyone have any questions?
Nancy, did you just say 50 times worse than a drug on the diet drink?
The diet pills, yeah.
Okay.
Is the diet pills are a trap. There's not one pill that doesn't have a side effect. And they're 50 times worse than the drug.
In listening to Roger Drummer last night, he said something about that it was already proven on the diet drink, but do y'all know anything in writing or whatever, anything that we've had in the past few years that I could find something printed to show some people?
What diet drink are you talking about?
I'm talking about any type of diet drink, how effect he said it killed the cells in your brain. It was destroying them.
Oh, he was talking about the diet soda.
Uh-huh.
He was talking about diet soda last night.
Yes, uh-huh.
There have been multiple things over the years that have come down on the horrible things that ascertain. I mean, even Mindy tells me all the time, Mom, I told you this 15 years ago. I remember she had sent me a very long thing on aspartame and what it does to the brain.
You know, I think you could Google that, and
yeah.
I think you could Google that and easily come up with a lot of information one thing that popped into my mind, Nancy, is looking at the labels. Now, this isn't diet drink, but as far as I'm concerned, any diet food would fall into that category because that's on their brain. And, you know, they can easily switch from one thing to another. Looking at the labeling on the MetaFast products, all I would do would be to take a couple of those envelopes that the stuff comes in and say, look at the first ingredient in this right here. And it was listed in everything they handed to me. And that was a soy isolate. And McDougall's got some great information on that. I mean, that's a little off the subject, but it's still related to it. And you're going to run into it at the same time because, I mean, I've got two people that are close that have been on that for months now. And it just appalls me that they can continue to feed their body that way or think they're feeding it.
Well, this is what I have. I've got two people that are very close, and they are still taking those diet drinks, and it just...
Well, as Roger was talking last night, I said to Marty, Jamie drinks diet soda all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't want to hear what I'm saying.
That's why I was saying if I say it, I thought maybe if I could find it in print. So you think just...
I may have some
Google aspartame or something.
Yeah, I may have an article or something saved. I'll check Mary Lou. If I do, I'll send it to you. But
I would really appreciate it because my sister's on them and my daughter. I can't get them off.
You don't even need to Google aspartame. Just put negative effects of diet drinks.
Okay.
And I think you will come back with all kinds of information and probably enough that sounds, you know, that is really scientific. Head you towards the studies, the double-blind studies, or studies on effects of diet drinks.
Okay, that might do it.
Just play with the wording just a little bit. The fewer the words, the better, of course.
I'm sure Dr. Mercola's site would probably have some stuff, too.
Yeah, Mercola and McDougall. McDougall will definitely explode on that one.
Yeah.
Just one other thing, in Tai Chi yesterday, my teacher's brother died a few weeks ago, and he was a hoarder, and she's been cleaning out his house, and she found, I think she said 5 or 10 jars of cocktail sauce, and so I don't know why or where it even came from, but I blurted out, it was like 10 years old, and I blurted out, well, I bet it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup. And the woman sitting in front of me said, oh, yes. She said it goes back to the early 80s when the government reduced the price, allowing the farmers to do it, is what she was saying. And that's when it started appearing and everything. I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Wow.
Yeah. They were paying the farmers to do this, I guess.
Dr. Oz shows yesterday, and I don't remember which one it was, but he was talking about if you feel like you were going to faint, to clench your hands and stuff, and I forget what else he said. Anyway, that would help to stimulate your blood so that it wouldn't, so you wouldn't faint.
I remember when I was a child, I had had eye surgery, and after the doctor took the stitches out of my eye, he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And he said, I think you better put your head between your legs. And as far as I'm sure that was just so that I wouldn't pass out. Usually, though, if you're going to faint, I don't think many people are aware that it's going to happen that quickly.
Yeah, but, that's true.
You know, if you do, I think also putting your head between your legs when you're sitting might help you get some blood up there.
He was just saying, like, if you were squeezing a ball between your hands or something,
uh-huh.
Work your hands like that, and that
the blood. Well, it must get the blood circulating somewhere, yeah. Interesting.
The other thing he said was he had a gal there that he was doing the demonstration with. He told her to lay down and put her feet up, so.
Above her heart.
Right, yeah.
Okay, anybody have any final thoughts, questions, concerns?
I was going to make a comment.
has left the conference.
You were talking of something, somebody said something about soy compounds.
Isolates,
yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to tap on to you something that I thought was very interesting. We have a she's like 3.5, 4 years old at this point, a granddaughter that was having all kinds of sleep apnea problems. And my daughter had switched away from cow's milk and was using soy milk. And because of something that was said on the calls or someplace, we switched, told her mom about it and switched her away from the soy milk. And within days, she started sleeping better. And she'd gone through the sleep apnea studies and all kinds of stuff and been diagnosed with sleep apnea. And just getting her off the soy took care of the problem.
Wow. That is great.
That is.
Thanks for sharing that, Steve.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, again, a food allergy. You know?
That's right.
And there are ways of, you know, without having a blood test, of learning what you might be allergic to. That Braille book that I have tells you very clearly how to do it. It's the process of eliminating food and then gradually adding them back in. And one thing he's also said before, if you are allergic today, doesn't mean that 6 months from now you're still going to be allergic to the same food.
You know, Steve, I would be real interested to know if, you know, a particular brand or the type of soy milk she was using, a couple of details on that, because the processing of it seems to be the culprit in this country, as well as it being altered, you know, genetically altered or fractionated or what's put with it. And who said this so strong was Jim White, and what he was looking up and looking at. He was just, he just believed that, you know, it wasn't the soy itself, it was what we were doing to it. And if she was using, like, cartons out of the store of soy milk or the powdered soy milk, if you find anything out, I'd really love to know that.
Yeah, it was stuff you get at Costco.
Oh, okay, the liquid milk?
Yeah, in the boxes.
I'll check the next time I go in Costco. But, I'd just be curious because there is such a difference for me in what I make and what I get at the store, that I don't seem to tolerate the other well at all. But yet what I'm putting together with the organic beans, I absolutely no problem with whatsoever.
Interesting.
One thing that I heard within the past several days on something I was watching, I don't remember what it was, that soy, a lot of people have negative reactions to it, and you should introduce it slowly. And I have a note here from a number of years ago, again from the chiropractor, that when you eat soy, it should be either steamed or fermented, and you should have it only twice a week so that you don't build up a food allergy. And, you know, other countries where it's more of a staple in their diet have lived on it forever, and Americans, again, have, you need to introduce it gradually and make sure it's fermented.
Yeah, what you said, Nancy, was another comment that Jim White had told me years ago. The other thing, Steve, that alluded to the fact that there was a huge difference is in the length of time it will hold in the refrigerator, accidentally getting a carton in the back because I went ahead and made some, and it's sitting there for weeks and weeks and was still, you know, it was still in fine shape according to the way it had been originally. It did not go bad. Definitely did not sour. Never did sour like mine would. And that would be, of course, because of the chemical, not because it had not been heated, because mine is totally heated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure what it was made in the store, you know, put out was the same way. So just, you know, just differences as to how the processing of food destroys or, you know, whatever you want, wherever you want, what category you want to put it in.
Well, certainly, we're back to the process, and the less process we eat, the better. Okay, guys, we are way past, and I appreciate everybody's participation and input. Have a good day. Enjoy whatever weather we're having, and at least there's no snow.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Information.
Thank you. You're welcome. Have a great day, everybody.